Hey everyone, and welcome back for another deep dive. You guys sent in some really interesting articles this time around.
Yeah.
Cable news and how viewership is changing.
Yeah, definitely some shifts happening.
Yeah, and we've got articles here from the Western Journal, New York Post, and Red State, and they all seem to kind of agree that CNN and MSNBC in particular are seeing some serious ratings dips.
Yeah.
So today we're going to dive deep and try to uncover what's really going on.
Right.
Is this just a temporary blip, or is something bigger at play?
Let's break it down.
All right. So let's start with CNN. One of the articles pointed out that CNN's ratings actually fell behind the Food Network.
Wow.
For a whole week in December.
Yeah, that's a pretty stark comparison. Yeah. It really highlights the challenges that CNN is facing.
Yeah.
To give you some context, that week, December 1st through 7th, CNN's primetime lineup, which includes shows like Anderson Cooper 360 and CNN Newsnight, averaged only about 367,000 viewers.
Wow, that's a pretty big difference compared to Fox News, which had an average of 2.5 million viewers
exactly
in those same primetime hours.
And this wasn't a slow news week either.
Right.
There were some major events happening.
Yeah.
The death of UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson, Trump's cabinet picks, Biden's pardon of Hunter Biden.
Right.
And even the Syrian rebellion against Assad.
Right. It wasn't a quiet week by any means.
So it's not like there was a lack of news for people to tune into.
Yeah. And the numbers get even more interesting when you look at that key demographic for advertisers.
Right.
The 25 to 54-year-olds. CNN only had about 67,000 viewers in that category.
Yeah. To put that into perspective, that means they were ranked 26th among cable stations.
Wow.
Fox News, on the other hand, had 280,000 viewers in that same demographic.
Okay, so a huge gap.
Huge gap. Yeah, advertisers really pay attention to that age group
right,
because they tend to have more spending power.
So it seems like CNN is really struggling to hold on to viewers, especially those that advertisers care about most. Now, the Western Journal article also mentions that MSNBC is having its own set of challenges with three shows hitting record low ratings.
Yes. Alex Wagner Tonight, Inside with Jen Psaki, and The Last Word with Lawrence O'Donnell all saw record lows.
Oh.
And it's especially noteworthy because it happened during the holiday season.
Yeah.
Typically, people are traveling, spending time with family,
right,
not glued to cable news.
It's not exactly prime time for news watching, is it?
No, not really.
So just how low did these ratings go?
Well, for the week of December 2nd, Alex Wagner averaged 595,000 viewers.
Okay.
While Jen Psaki had 651,000 during the same period. And Lawrence O'Donnell hit a particularly low point, only 61,000 viewers.
61,000?
In that key 25-54 demographic.
Wow. That's quite a drop.
Yeah.
It really makes you wonder what's driving this trend, especially for these networks. Do you think there could be a connection to the broader political landscape?
It's certainly a question worth considering.
Yeah.
The Western Journal suggests that Trump's election back in 2016 might be a contributing factor. Their argument is that Trump's win represented a rejection of the establishment, and that sentiment extends to certain media outlets, including MSNBC.
Yeah.
It's a theory that some people believe might explain why these networks, seen by some as part of the establishment, are seeing the decline in viewership.
Interesting. And speaking of MSNBC and the 2016 election, we can't forget Rachel Maddow.
Right.
The New York Post article really dives into her situation.
Yeah.
And it's pretty stark. Apparently, her viewership has dropped a significant 43%.
Wow.
Since Trump defeated Kamala Harris in that election.
That's a dramatic shift for someone who was once a ratings powerhouse for MSNBC.
Right.
And while she switched to a once-a-week format back in 2022, that decline is still significant, particularly among those key 25 to 54-year-old viewers.
Even with the reduced schedule, she still lost a large portion of her audience. I think it was 56% in that demographic.
Yeah, 56%. That's a big chunk.
And isn't she still reportedly making around $25 million per year?
There's been a lot of talk about her salary,
right?
Especially with the decline in her viewership.
It does make you think about the return on investment for MSNBC.
It does.
A Fox News contributor, Joe Concha, even commented on it.
Oh, yeah.
And what did he say?
Well, he basically said that it's surprising MSNBC is paying her $25 million to work one night a week when she's losing out to Sean Hannity in the ratings.
Interesting.
He even posed the question,
yeah,
is that money well spent?
It's a good question. I mean, ratings clearly have financial consequences for these networks.
Oh, absolutely.
But beyond the money, do you think the content itself plays a role in these viewership shifts?
Potentially, yeah.
Could the often intense, mm-hmm. partisan tone adopted by some of these networks be turning viewers off?
That's a valid point. The Western Journal article highlights that MSNBC, unlike CNN, doesn't have a single conservative voice on its network.
Interesting.
CNN at least has Scott Jennings,
okay.
offering a different perspective.
Right.
Some argue that this lack of diverse viewpoints contributes to an echo chamber effect,
mm-hmm.
potentially alienating viewers who want a more balanced approach.
And then there's the issue of trust, right?
Yeah, you do.
The Western Journal mentioned that incident with Al Sharpton.
Oh, yeah?
And the undisclosed payments he received from Kamala Harris's campaign for a favorable interview.
Right. Scandals like that, regardless of political leanings,
yeah.
can really damage a network's credibility.
Absolutely. Incidents like that raise serious questions about journalistic integrity and impartiality.
For sure.
Viewers need to feel like they can trust the information they're getting.
Mm-hmm.
And when those lines get blurred, it can have a lasting impact on a network's reputation.
It really can.
It seems like there's a lot more to this rating slump than meets the eye.
Definitely.
Hmm.
There are multiple layers to this story, and to understand it fully, we need to look beyond the numbers and consider the broader context.
So where do we go from here?
Well, in part two, we're going to explore some other factors that might be contributing to this decline, like the rise of independent media, the impact of social media, and how people's news consumption habits are changing.
That sounds fascinating. I'm really curious to dig deeper into those areas.
Yeah, it'd be interesting.
All right, well, we'll be back with part two after a short break.
Sounds good.
All right, we're back and ready to continue our deep dive into those cable news ratings and why they seem to be slipping for some of those big networks.
You know, it's not just about declining numbers. It's really about how people consume news these days.
Yeah, it's a whole different ballgame.
It really is.
I mean, we can't ignore the fact that we're living in the age of streaming services, social media, and independent media outlets.
Right. A whole new world.
It's like a whole new world of information and entertainment.
Exactly. Think about it. You have access to news 24/7 from tons of different sources.
Right.
Many of them are free or very inexpensive.
Yeah.
This means traditional cable news channels are facing a whole new kind of competition.
Right. And it's not just about the quantity of information available. It's also the types of content.
Mm-hmm.
Independent media outlets, for example, often offer like a more niche perspective.
Yeah.
They can focus on specific interests and viewpoints that might not get as much airtime on those mainstream cable news channels.
Right. They can really dive deep into topics that might get a quick mention on a larger network.
Right.
Or they can be quicker to react to developing stories,
mm-hmm.
offering alternative. Takes that challenge, that usual narrative.
It's almost like they're filling in the gaps and providing a richer and more diverse media landscape.
I think so.
Yeah. And then, of course, you have social media, which has become like a major source of news for so many people.
Huge, especially younger generations.
Yeah, they're getting updates from their social networks, influencers, online communities.
Right.
But social media is also kind of a double-edged sword, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
I mean, while it can keep you informed and expose you to different points of view, it can also become like a breeding ground for misinformation and those echo chambers where everyone just agrees with each other.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Social media algorithms often prioritize engagement over accuracy.
Right.
So that means sensational or misleading content can spread really quickly.
Right.
You know, it's more important than ever to be critical of your sources and double check information before you share it.
It really highlights the importance of media literacy in today's world.
Absolutely.
And let's not forget the trend of cord cutting. You know, people are ditching their cable subscriptions in droves and switching over to those streaming services like Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus.
Yeah, huge shift.
It's a huge shift. Yeah. It means cable news channels are losing a chunk of their potential audience simply because fewer people are subscribing to cable in the first place.
Yeah, it's almost like a perfect storm for those traditional networks. They're facing dwindling viewership, a shrinking subscriber base, and fierce competition from these new media platforms that seem to be better adapted to the digital world.
Yeah, it's definitely a challenging environment for them to navigate.
For sure.
But challenges also create opportunities, right?
They do.
Cable news networks have a chance to adapt, to innovate, to find new ways to engage viewers and deliver content that's relevant, informative, and engaging.
Yeah. What kind of changes do you think they need to make to stay relevant?
Right. What does the future of cable news look like in this ever-evolving media landscape?
Well, for starters, I think they need to fully embrace the digital world. That means creating high-quality content specifically for online platforms,
yeah,
figuring out how to use social media strategically,
right,
and maybe developing streaming services that cater to a wide range of interests.
Yeah, I agree. They need to meet their audience where they are rather than expecting the audience to come to them.
Exactly.
And they need to rethink their approach to news coverage, I think. That hyper-partisan, often combative style that's become so common in recent years seems to be turning some viewers away.
I agree.
It seems like people are looking for something a bit more nuanced,
right,
more fact-based reporting that doesn't shy away from complexity and presents different perspectives.
Exactly. They need to prioritize insightful analysis, investigative journalism, and in-depth reporting that provides context and understanding, not just headlines.
Rebuild trust.
Yes, rebuild trust with their audience.
Right.
That means being transparent about their sources, acknowledging their biases, and correcting errors quickly and openly.
Right. It's a big task, but I think it's essential for their long-term survival.
Yeah, I agree.
The audience is changing, the media landscape is changing, and cable news has to adapt if it wants to remain a relevant source of information and insight.
I couldn't agree more. It's such an interesting time to be observing the media industry.
It really is.
The old rules are being rewritten and the possibilities are endless.
It is fascinating to see these trends play out, but there's another angle to this cable news ratings slump that we haven't touched on yet.
Yeah.
The economic implications.
That's right. That's a crucial piece of the puzzle.
Yeah.
These declining ratings have real-world consequences, not only for the networks themselves,
yeah,
but for the advertisers who depend on them to reach their target audiences.
Right.
That's exactly where we'll pick up in the other. Part three of this deep dive.
Okay.
We'll explore how these viewership shifts are impacting the advertising industry and what it all means for the future of media funding.
I'm really interested to hear more about that. Welcome back. It's part three of our deep dive into cable news and all the changes that are happening.
Yeah.
We've talked about those shrinking viewership numbers, the rise of those alternative media platforms, and how people's news consumption habits are changing.
Yeah, definitely.
Especially in the digital age.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's time to address the elephant in the room, the financial impact. These viewership shifts are having a huge economic impact on the cable news industry.
They really are. Advertising revenue is the lifeblood of these networks.
Right.
And as viewership declines,
yeah,
so do those ad dollars.
It's pretty straightforward, isn't it? Fewer people watching.
Right.
Less value for advertisers.
Exactly. Advertisers are very strategic about where they spend their money.
Mm-hmm.
They want to reach specific demographics.
Right.
Those groups of people most likely to buy their products or services.
Right.
And they want to reach them on platforms where they're actually spending their time.
So if cable news networks are losing viewers, especially in those coveted demographics like the 25 to 54-year-olds,
right,
advertisers are going to start looking for other places to spend their money.
That's precisely what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing a shift in ad spending towards digital platforms, social media, and those streaming services we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
That's where audiences are growing and that's where engagement is high.
Yeah, it's classic supply and demand, really. The demand for cable news advertising is shrinking as the supply of these alternative platforms expands.
Exactly. And that has significant consequences for the future of cable news.
Mm-hmm.
Networks are having to make tough decisions.
Right.
Cutting costs, reducing staff, and even canceling shows.
Like we saw with Rachel Maddow.
Exactly.
Moving to that once-a-week schedule at MSNBC.
It's hard to imagine a network paying someone $25 million a year for one show a week.
Right.
If they weren't feeling the financial pressure.
It's a sign of the times, for sure. A clear indication that that old cable news model is struggling to stay afloat.
Yeah, the days of massive audiences all tuning in to the same handful of channels are fading away.
So what does this mean for the future of news?
Right.
If cable news is losing its financial footing, how do we ensure that quality journalism survives?
Right. Yeah.
And people have access to reliable, in-depth information.
That's the million-dollar question.
Yeah.
We're definitely in a transitional period.
Yeah.
And it's not entirely clear what the new model will look like.
Yeah.
Right. But we are seeing some promising trends emerge.
Oh, like what?
Well, for one, we're seeing the rise of nonprofit and foundation-funded journalism.
Okay.
Organizations like ProPublica and the Center for Investigative Reporting are doing amazing work.
Mm-hmm.
Producing high-quality investigative journalism,
right,
without relying on those traditional advertising models.
So they rely on grants and donations.
Grants and donations.
To fund their work.
Exactly.
That's encouraging. It shows that there are other ways to support good journalism, ways that focus on serving the public interest rather than chasing profits.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We're also seeing a growing movement towards membership-based models.
Okay.
This is where individuals directly contribute to support the news organizations they value.
So it's like a subscription service for news.
Kind of, yeah.
But instead of paying a big corporation,
right,
you're directly supporting the reporters and editors you trust.
Exactly. And it gives the audience a sense of ownership, right, and participation in the news gathering process.
Yeah, it feels more collaborative,
right,
more community-driven.
Exactly. And we're even seeing some news organizations experiment with new advertising approaches.
Okay.
Like native advertising and sponsored content.
Mm-hmm.
These can help generate revenue without compromising a news organization's commitment to reporting the facts objectively.
Right, and that's essential. Finding sustainable ways to fund journalism without sacrificing independence and integrity is crucial.
Couldn't agree more. The future of news may be uncertain,
yeah,
but it's also full of potential.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing new models emerge, new technologies being embraced,
mm-hmm,
and hopefully a renewed focus on the core values of good journalism.
Right.
Truth, accuracy, and accountability.
It's an exciting time to be following the media industry, that's for sure.
It really is.
The landscape is evolving, the players are changing, but the need for quality journalism remains.
Absolutely. So as you navigate this ever-changing media landscape,
yeah,
remember to be a critical consumer of information. Be thoughtful about your sources, support the news organizations you value, and engage in healthy conversations about the issues that matter most.
Well said. And on that note, we've reached the end of our deep dive into the cable news ratings slump.
It's been a fascinating conversation.
It has been. Thanks for joining us on this exploration. We hope you found it insightful and thought-provoking.
We'll see you next time.
Until next time, stay curious, stay informed, and keep asking questions.